Catholic Vitamins, Vitamin W, Writing, with Sarah Reinhart, Episode 83.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that has taken place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Dee. Hi, everybody.
Are you going to say hello to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you something.
Okay.
Well, I got to tell them something. You already know about it. I had a luncheon here this week, and it was all of us ladies, the eight ladies who went to that retreat last weekend down in Phoenix, and we got together. One of the ladies suggested we get together and discuss it, like debrief. We thought that was a great idea, and you volunteered to fix lunch.
Uh-huh.
So we had a really good meeting. We talked a lot about what the speakers had talked about and how we could try to do something more within our parish from things that we learned that day.
Well, that's great. What a great idea that is. And isn't it nice to hear that there is some fruit from the retreat that you attended? I mean, you know, a lot of times you go away and you do something, a retreat, you come back and, okay, back to the real world now and just sort of leave things behind. So I'm glad you did that. And I take my hat off to you, dear, my love, for being a part of helping to get even that thing going. You also did the retreat organizing and getting people down there. So it's great, great.
Yeah.
Well, our topic today is writing. Now, who would have thought that there could be a vitamin called writing?
Well, we have some very unusual vitamins in our cabinet.
Well, this Catholic vitamin has this kind of thinking. Dear, our listeners won't know what this is about, but you will once I say it. I'm in the process of reading a book to be published, right? And in one of the chapters in the heart of the book, the person who wrote this book went to a retreat, speaking of retreats. And one of the assignments during a quiet period of the retreat was to go away and write a letter as if God was writing a letter to you, Dee, or to me, Tom. We sometimes lose track of the fact that we can communicate more effectively when we sit down and put things in words, whether it's journaling or expressing things in an email to friends. You know what we ought to do? We ought to create a site for sending email notes to the Lord.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, because I'm convinced that sometimes things come on our heart that are better done committed to words. And if we try to verbalize them, then we go, but if we write them. So I was thinking about this when I came up with this idea. And dear Sarah Reinhart, who is a joy to a lot of hearts, agreed to come on, and she's a real writing person. I mean, she does a lot of writing, a lot of places. And she's also gifted us with a special column for us to put on our blog site associated with this show.
Boy, she came up with that quick.
She did, and it was wonderful, just a wonderful...
I love it.
Yeah. So our vitamin today is oriented towards committing thoughts to writing and taking the time to think about some unusual aspects of writing. And how about this for a first assignment from Catholic Vitamins? To write an email to the Lord God and then have the Lord God answer you in an email. And how would that exchange look? How does that sound, dear?
Interesting.
Okay. You have something else to do here?
Oh, I was just going to mention about our rosary and the whole, smack that dog. She's driving us crazy over there. I was going to mention that we had our rosary and the home group meet here this week.
Right.
And we've been doing this for what? Last couple of years? Yeah, since we moved here. And we also did it back in Colorado when we lived there. Well, we had a record group this week.
What'd you say?
We had to bring all of our lawn chairs in off the patio in order to have a place for everybody to sit. We had 21 here.
21, huh?
Yes.
You know what made it extra special?
What?
I think you know.
Yes, I do know.
It was having young children here. We had, was it 4 young children? Maybe ages from 11 down to 4 or so. And to hear those angelic, sweet voices joining in.
Yeah, we had a couple people comment about that afterwards.
Yeah, it was just awesome.
Yeah. And actually, that family coming, there were 7 from that family who came.
yeah. And, you know, before we start the rosary, you know this, Dee, but I'm doing this for our friends who are listening today. We always stop to solicit intentions and requests, prayer needs. And sometimes they're pretty ordinary, and sometimes they're fairly touching. And so we always include those in our minds and hearts as we enter into the rosary. We do the rosary, and it only takes about 20 or 25 minutes. And then we do the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and that adds 10, 12 minutes. So we're done in 45 minutes, and then we socialize. What we want to share with people is we had not had time to prepare or bake something, and I know we're not supposed to be doing anything big during Lent, but you went to the local supermarket and you got a
pineapple upside down cake.
And previous to anybody coming, I know that you had cut it into probably a nice 8 or 10 pieces, right?
Yes, had no idea we were going to have that many people.
And soon as we were done with everything, we're up and
you were cutting those pieces even smaller.
So we had 20 or 25 pieces in what would have normally been an 8-serving cake or a 10-serving cake. But we had fun and everybody enjoyed their time together. And so I love that practice of doing rosary in the home. And if you're looking for something to add in your parish or in your community, rosary in the home is a great idea. You could write about it. Writing. Well, that's it for our opening segment, isn't it?
That's it.
We'll be back.
Africa on the throne. And on base, Latin America. And Spain on guitar. And on keyboard, the USA. And on vocals, on vocals, everywhere around this world, let the flag of the Church of Christ unfurl. People, come on, bend your knee to the power, glory, and majesty. See the Church, found by Christ, the one for which He gave.
Hello, this is Catholic musician and speaker Justin Stroh and weekly host of This New Evangelization on Catholic Vitamins each week. Inspired by current events and weekly readings, we look forward to the new evangelization that Pope John Paul II prophesied. In fact, we believe that after the beatification of JP II, the great miracle that will lead to his canonization will be the birth of this new evangelization.
Well, that very upbeat music was, of course, by Justin Stroh, as was the little promo commercial. Justin tries to get something to us each and every week, but his travel schedule, his speaking engagements make it pretty hard for him to be absolutely rigorous about being with us each week. But I did get an email from him, and he's back home. We hope to get something from him soon. Well, I think Teresa Doyle Nelson is here, and she's got a contribution for our Catholic Vitamin W.
Hello, this is Teresa Doyle Nelson, author of Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible. My saints and scripture vitamin W is wise men. For years, I have felt very drawn to the wise men written about in Matthew's Gospel. often during the season of Christmas, I find myself sending out cards with images of the wise men worked into the picture. I love how they were searchers, searchers of truth. Although they came from religious traditions dramatically different from Judaism or Christianity, they nonetheless had open hearts and made huge sacrifices in the name of truth, and ultimately found and humbly worshipped the Son of God. I remember feeling surprised when I learned that the wise men have a feast day of their own. I had always assumed their day of honor was within the Feast of Epiphany alone. Yet, the Church holds July 24th as a special day to remember these saints. At first, that summer date puzzled me. Why so far from the Christmas season? After a while, a thought came to me. Perhaps the date months before Christmas represents the long journey they made in pursuit of the Child King. Often, when I meet, see, or read about some wonderful people who also have made great sacrifices in an effort to search, pray, and look for goodness, I think of the wise men. Although the mode of searching may be different nowadays, still the surrendering all for God is fundamentally the same. Consider marking July 24th on your calendar as the Feast of the Wise Men. And then, maybe on that day, you could ask these wise saints to pray for someone you know who is searching, or for your own quest for truth. Or maybe on the Feast of the Wise Men, take a moment to thank God for the wise men and women He has put on your path who have enriched your spiritual journey. Such are the people that love the Lord, that seek the face of the God of Jacob. Psalm 24, verse 6. Blessings on your day.
Thank you, Teresa Doyle Nelson, with a little writing assignment. Write something on the calendar to prepare to honor the wise men. What a great idea. Thank you, Teresa. And speaking of great ideas, Teresa has given us one each of her books, and we'll give you some details when Dee joins us a little bit later in the show. Up next, our interview with the delightful and fun and refreshing Sarah Reinhardt. Well, most of us, if we wrote a bio, it would go something like this. Deacon Tom is a deacon in the Catholic Church. He was ordained by Archbishop Charles Chaput. You know, pretty ordinary bio. Not so for our guest today, Sarah Reinhardt. If Sarah Reinhardt isn't off hiding somewhere with a good book, chances are she's chasing a toddler or, what would you say, a speedy Jack Russell, or sleeping, because every mom can use a nap. And in her bio, she says she found Prince Charming and married him, and they now live in an old farmhouse. And her blog, Just Another Day of Catholic Pondering, has tidbits from her life. And we've come to know and love her in a variety of ways, which we'll get to. Sarah Reinhardt, at long last, welcome to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much. I'm so humbled. I know that bio is my bio, but to hear it coming out of your mouth makes it sound so nice.
Well, thank you. You know, you and I have, worked together. We have just prayed together just moments ago. We have eaten McDonald's food together. I've played under your watchful eye with your children, two of your children. Dee and I have enjoyed reading your work from time to time. And so we've had a sort of arm's length affection for what we do in Catholic New Media Evangelization. So it's good now to be with you on the show about writing. And you seem to be an awfully prolific woman. We'll get to that. Let me start by doing what I routinely do on a show. Not that you're routine, dear, but Sarah, you know, every show brings with it its own listening base, and there might be some that don't know about your work and don't know about some of the background we're going to cover. But start at the beginning. Tell us about the early days.
I was raised in Northwest Ohio, not Catholic. So I came into the Catholic Church just actually this year celebrates 10 years. So I've been reflecting on that a lot this Lent so far. So I was raised Christian, though. So, and when I was young, my parents divorced. My dad has remarried a couple of times, but my dad was the manager for many years until I was in high school of a Christian church camp. So I grew up very much immersed in a Christian lifestyle, singing camp songs, playing outside, getting dirt under my fingernails, sort of the way I'm raising my kids, I guess. And then I discovered FFA in high school, which it used to stand for Future Farmers of America. They've rebranded it, and now it's the National FFA Association. But embraced that in high school, was really inspired by a teacher, and went to Ohio State for my undergraduate work and got a degree in ag education. And I was all geared up to teach high school students and change the world. And then my student taught and changed my mind and went into business. I was working at a John Deere dealership. We have a really large one here in Central Ohio, and I met my husband, Bob, and I guess you could say the rest is history, but I just hadn't ever met a guy like him before. He really, to say, rocked my world. He challenged all of the things I knew to be true at that point in my life. So when I call him Prince Charming, I'm really not being sarcastic at all. I really think he's the best guy I know. And my prayer for my daughters is that they can find a guy like their dad. And if they can't, then Jesus is the only guy better than their dad. And they can go to a convent. So, but then while I was still working at the John Deere dealership and Bob and I had just started dating, I started working on my master's degree in marketing and communication, did that in the nights over the course of 2 years. And then when I graduated from there, that was the same year I graduated with my master's degree in August. That April, I had got my first communion baptized, first communion confirmed in the Catholic Church. And then we were married that November. So we've been married now, let's see, 2003, 8 years this year. So, but we dated for quite a few years prior to that.
All right, let me capture something. You said married about 8 years. Is that what you said?
2003, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Math challenge. Yeah, that'd be 8 years this November.
Okay, but you said you've been a Catholic 10 years?
Mm-hmm. So how cool is it that my husband was my sponsor? Just like a few weeks ago, I was listening to your interview with Lisa and Joel Schmidt.
Yes.
Am I getting his name right? And she was able to be his sponsor. If you're married, you're not able to be your spouse's sponsor. But if you're not married, you are able to be the sponsor. Which is like a little like tidbit that I learned. And then after we were married, I changed jobs and started working for our parish and was parish secretary. And then for a short time, I was parish administrator. And now I've scaled back and I just do the parish bulletin, work on the website, communications type work. So very, very part-time from home type of stuff.
Okay, what part did... Well, let me back up and go back to
so
the
So those are the early years. I guess I sort of captured them fast for you, didn't
Well, no, that's great, great. With Bob, what was it about him? It must not have been the faith issue, you know, that magnetically drew you to him, or perhaps it was, maybe I'm not capturing. What was it about him?
In college, I had quite a bit of time away from any Christianity. I became convinced in college and in my 20s that all the things I had been raised with were a total sham. Marriage was a joke. Why bother? The morals and values I'd been raised with, I was just pretty sure that everything was wrong, and I knew better because in my 20s, I knew everything, which was unfortunate for me at the time, but he was the first guy I had met who looked me in the eyes and was listening to what I said. And I didn't get the feeling he wanted to take it any further or get anything else out of it. He was happy just to hear me talk. And I did. I talked the poor guy's ear off. As you can tell from this conversation, I don't shut up. But he would look me in the eyes, and I remember, I can look back now, and he still does it to me. I've watched him do this to waitresses. Women do not know how to respond when they meet a man who will look them in the eye and not look away and be truly interested and truly listen. I'm not sure I know very many people like that at all. In fact, it is how when I think to myself that I see Jesus in my husband, they think Jesus must have been that kind of person who looked women in the eye. I picture him in that gospel reading we just had last Sunday, which was the third Sunday of Lent, that Samaritan woman at the well. Just, I imagine Jesus just looking at her eye to eye, face to face, and just seeing into her and her just going, oh my goodness, I've never met a man like this before. That's how I felt with my husband.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's awesome. Now, what was his faith at the time, just so we get that?
He has been Catholic his entire life. He went to all 12 years, 13 years of Catholic schools. But I came to find out just a year or so ago that he had been away from the church doing his own I don't need church kind of thing. He had just started attending Mass again when he and I began dating. And I had tried to arrange an early Sunday hiking date with him, and this is how my ego is. I called him and said, well, okay, let's get together at whatever time on Sunday morning. We'll go hiking. There's these great places to hike, about an hour from where we are in Central Ohio. And he said, well, I'm not able. We can't leave until probably 10 at the earliest. And I said, I thought he wanted to sleep in. And I said, well, why? You can get up early. And he said, no, I have to go to Mass. And then my mom makes breakfast. And I thought, who is this God person who's better than a date with a girlfriend? Come on.
Yeah.
And it was that, I mean, this is the guy who does not, he likes to sleep in. He's more of a night owl, sleep in kind of person. And he was getting up at 8:30, well, to go to an 8:30 Mass right down the road. And then his mom, you know, they'd come back and the family would have breakfast, the kids who were still at home. And it was just such a great family event. But I was just like, what? You want to go to church instead of going on a date and spend time with me? So, and he just lets things happen. He doesn't, I always have something to say. He has this beautiful gift of keeping his mouth shut and just letting things happen. So he kept his mouth shut. And I was finally like, I'm coming to Mass with you. And I went to Mass and I still can't explain it. I find myself very moved during Mass. And I was like, what? It must be the ritual thing. I'd read some Joseph Campbell, and I thought, it must be ritual. It must be all this ritual. These Catholics had the ritual thing down. But anyway, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit here. But his not trying to sell me on his religion or his point of view or anything was the best sales tactic he could have used.
I've heard you talk about the first and early Mass experiences. And for the sake of those who listen to Catholic Vitamins, have you written about your conversion to the Catholic faith? And if so, where could it be found?
I haven't written it straight out in like from the beginning to end. And in part because for me, I still find like I look at myself today in 2011 and compare myself to that person, you know, in 2001, and man, my conversion is very much an ongoing journey. When I walked into Mass that April 2001, that vigil Mass, I still had an attitude. I still go to Mass and have an attitude now. But at the time, I was like, I don't have to do this. Nobody can make me become Catholic. There's nothing. It doesn't even matter if I join the church. I mean, I had gone through RCIA. But the powerful part for me of conversion is that it continues. It's not just a moment of time. When I was smacked on the head for the confirmation, they probably should have smacked me extra hard. But I needed that jolt of the Holy Spirit to carry me through and keep me going. But I haven't written about it in part because I always struggle with, I did have a powerful change of heart, but it has continued. So I guess the answer is no, I haven't really written about it in one concise way.
All right.
but maybe I should try. I did have somebody ask me, there's a new website, and I can't remember the link to it, but he's collecting conversion stories, and he had sent me an email quite a while ago asking me, and I thought, you know, maybe it's a good time to write about it and to try and capture it in 500 words or less. But
I know that you are seen, read, and heard in lots of places in new media evangelization, and one of the things that seems to draw people to certain places is when they find grace moments that people have responded to. So as good a writer as you are, I'm sure that if you set your mind to doing your conversion story, it'll turn out wonderfully and it will help others, which is really what the goal is. Writing seems to be a passion. I mean, I do judge from a distance of 1,500 miles or 1,800 miles, but it seems to be a passion. And who are you writing for?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you ask that is I write for myself because it shuts up the voices in my head. However, after some reflection, I think I started off writing for myself, and I thought I was writing for myself. I think I'm really writing for the Holy Spirit. I think that my prayer, having gone to adoration many, many hours and sat there going, what do you want from me? And then changing my prayer to, please just make me your instrument. And then laughing and going, you want to use me as your instrument? Are you crazy? And the answer is yes, God is crazy. At least that's my conclusion. But who am I to judge? I think I'm writing for the Holy Spirit. I could say I'm writing for moms, but I've had men approach me and say that they've been touched by what I've written. I've had single women say that they're very touched by what I've written. So I guess I'm writing for whoever the Holy Spirit has in mind. Which sounds way more idealistic than it feels when I'm staring at the blank screen.
Is it therapeutic for you?
You know, it is. And it started becoming more therapeutic for me when I started taking, I started going to Adoration. Our parish started a perpetual adoration program in 2001, right after I became Catholic. Because I think back in 2001, was that the first Divine Mercy Sunday?
Could be. Yeah, could be.
It might have been. Well, we started our adoration program in conjunction with that. Like, it just worked out that way. Well, I'm sure it's not a coincidence, but at the time, it seemed to just work out that way. And I started going to adoration, and there was this lady in the parish who kept saying, you should take a notebook and write. It's the best thing when you're in adoration. I was like, no, I can't handwrite. No, I had all these excuses. It took me 2 years, and I finally thought, well, I was really upset about something. And I took a notebook or a journal I had, and I wrote a letter, and it became part of my prayer. I would write a letter to God. And in fact, now, if I don't take anything else with me to adoration, I take this notebook and a pen and write a letter to God in adoration. And sometimes the letter is, I have no idea what to tell you. You already know what's going on in my life. Why do you need me to write to you? But it helps me to get all the words out so that I can sit there and let Him fill me up.
Like, I'm so very glad that you brought this up because I just want to do a sidebar about my own writing and share this as the reason for this Catholic Vitamin for today. There's two times that I have done a great deal of writing in my later years. One was when I was beginning to go through some very, very substantive changes in my life, and I didn't know where those changes were going to go. Or to lead, they did wind up leading me back to a faith reversion, although I wouldn't have known that at the beginning. But I used to do a lot of writing. I stopped that, and then much later, at the wisdom of someone who talked to me, just as a woman did to you, about writing in adoration. And I resisted it for a while, and then I've filled up a couple spiral notebooks, and I find praise and other thoughts coming out of me that I don't think would come if I just sat in silence. So thank you for sharing those words, that's exactly what this vitamin is about, that there are things that writing can help to bring out for others. And so great, great. Where are you writing now? Maybe we can move off of...
I was trying not to interrupt you, which is hard because I could go on and on about that. Like I can go back and read through my old journals that I use, and I don't find the same kind of prayer ability when I'm not in adoration. But for me, in the presence of Jesus, I feel like I'm having a like it's actually a conversation. If I'm sitting there silently, I feel like I'm talking to him, and I'm never shutting myself up. But when I'm writing, I feel like somehow it feels like it's, I don't know. But yes, what you said. I write now, well, my blog is snoringscholar.com, so I'm there every day or at least a few times a week. I also have a weekly column on Fridays over at catholicmom.com, and I contribute every so often over at faithandfamilylive.com. And let's see, I do Mary Moment over on the Catholic Moments podcast and Mary in the Kitchen on the Catholic Foodie podcast. And I just started doing a Mary Minute with Chesterton for Uncommon Sense, and that's been a lot of fun.
Okay.
And for me, those podcast things start as writing.
Sure, like sure.
I'm reading a script. I'm trying not to sound like I'm reading, but they don't come off the top of my head.
You talked about the voices inside. You know, if I don't commit what I'm going to say to paper, the voices would take me off in paths.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned a couple places that you do columns, Catholic Mom, and give me another one real quick.
Faith and Family Live.
Faith and Family Live, okay.
For them. Yeah.
Now, do you have a mindset about the sort of person you're writing for in Faith and Family versus Catholic Mom, or is it whatever the inspiration of the hour or the day is?
I probably should, but I do know that CatholicMom.com is read by a number of men. So I can't get it out of my head that even though it's CatholicMom.com, I know that there is a base of men who read stuff over there. I try to write things, a lot of times CatholicMom.com, I give myself more leeway probably, and I'll do review products, books, CDs, and such over there as well. And sometimes I'll just get a reflection. A lot of times those reflections are based more at parents and moms. But I don't know. I hesitate to put myself in. But it is, by nature of writing over there, yeah, it's definitely more of a female audience. And Faith and Family Live, I think, has a more female base. Definitely. But a lot of times the stuff I write for Faith and Family Live is more Marian focused.
Okay.
And a couple years ago, I should back that up, because a couple years ago, Catholic Exchange, at the time their women's channel was called Today's Catholic Women. I think it's changed to Feminine Genius now. But I spent a year doing a column a week on different titles of Mary. And then in the midst of that, Lisa and I talked about me doing a Mary Moment, and I thought, well, that'll last for about a year, and then I'll run out of material. And what I have found writing about the Blessed Mother is that there's no shortage of inspiration or materials. And doing that Mary in the Kitchen segment, too, I at the time when Jeff and I talked about it, I thought, that's Mary in the Kitchen? Like, that's not just Mary. I thought it was narrow enough to say doing a Mary segment, but now you're limiting it to the kitchen? Seriously?
Sure.
This is not going to last long. But there's really, the Blessed Mother can be, I think that's the beauty of our devotion as Catholics, too, is that you can try and narrow it down. There's no narrowing it. A priest friend of mine once described grace as, we always try and picture grace as water in a cup. And you think you can get full, but actually grace is more like the air we breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't, you can put it in the cup and put the lid on, but there's still grace outside the cup. It can't be contained like that. And I feel like I've come to appreciate that more in the writing I've done about Mary. So I tend to write more Marian focused things for Faith and Family Live, in part because I feel like so many people put Mary up on a pedestal, or She seems so unreachable, and she seems like how, even if you have a devotion to her, she can feel so distant because she was perfect, right? She was not even human. Well, no, that's not correct. She was human. Sure. Maybe she was perfect, but that doesn't mean that she doesn't feel our pain or feel for us.
Yeah, I bet she cried even in the early years when there was just the three of them at home. You know, she probably burned her finger a time or two.
Right. Or she probably wanted to just look at Jesus. I had this image of her in my head. And, you know, in an apron, just finished some huge project that needs to, like the bread needs to rise or something. And Jesus comes tromping through with, like, a herd of dogs behind him and a bunch of other little boys. And, oh, just get out of my kitchen. Just go play. Get your dirt out of here. I mean, and I'm... sort of, that's not quite accurate. She probably didn't have that impatience, but she had to experience our human emotions. The difference between her and us is she chose not to sin. Like, whereas I might give in to the sin, she did not. So that's where the lesson is. She made different choices faced with the same hurdles that I have, or similar hurdles, or worse hurdles.
I want to move us towards a close. I mean, I don't want to, but I'll need to move towards a close.
I understand.
And there are so many things that I'd like to spring into. First, if any men or women are interested in reaching out to you for something that you've helped to resonate in them, how can they reach you?
If they go over to my blog, snoringscholar.com, in the left-hand part, there's links for Twitter, Facebook, and I have an email link there as well.
Awesome.
So they can certainly reach me any of those ways.
All right. Now, this is off topic of writing, and, you know, there's probably a lot more we could find out about what you've written about in recent years, but what's it like on the farm?
Well, I love, it's funny, Bob and I were just talking about this the other day, and I said, you know, 10 years ago, well, before I was married, I thought, oh, living in town, that's the way to go. That's great. Now that I have kids and I'm living in the country, I wouldn't have it any other way. We just got chickens last week, so we're just dipping our hands and having chickens. It's nice to be out in the country and to look out my kitchen window and see the love note from God in the sunset.
Amen.
To look out across in the east, my house faces east and west. So in the evenings in my kitchen, I see the sunset. And this time of year, the sunrises are just these delicate pinks and blues, and I can just look out the window and go, wow, why would I want to miss this?
All right. We haven't really, how could I say this? I want to ask you something that probably we didn't even think about doing before. Would you write a reflection for Catholic Vitamins that we can post on our blog page about what you just described, the life that you have there,
and
what it's like to look out the window and, you know, see God in the creation around you, and anything that strikes you about that. I mean, 200 words, 400 words, 800 words, but it just occurred to me that it would be a way that we can, you know, come back to the topic of writing it. And just if you do that and get it to us, I would love to post that on our blog page. It'd be a great gift from you. Thank you for that.
Sure.
You have a horse?
No, we go up to a horse farm.
Oh, okay.
Although someday we hope to have horses of our own. But right now we're in the beginning of it. So there's a horse farm not far from us. So we go up there and ride. Elizabeth actually has a horse show later this week, and she's all charged up about that. But, yeah, we go once a week for lessons, and our older daughter, who's six, has been taking lessons for a year now, and the three-year-old is all set to be a horse trainer. Horse trainer, princess, mermaid, I think, is her current job description right now, which she changes daily.
Cute.
So she will only ride on her pony for so long before she wants to get down and walk around with it and pretend she's the trainer. And this is a 500-pound animal. So it's, her comfort level is really hilarious to me. But yeah, that's something we all enjoy. My husband and I both grew up wanting horses, but we only discovered that we had this horse farm near us a few years ago, and we would take Elizabeth up when she was younger, and she would get a pony ride, and then we found about the lessons, and so she's been going up there and having quite a bit of fun with that. So someday we'll have horses at our place too.
Is your property big enough that you have any ponds? Or?
Yes, we have almost 6 acres.
Oh.
So, well, and right now my brother-in-law has his sheep out in our barn, so we have sheep.
Oh, great.
They're his sheep. To me, this is a win-win. They're his sheep. He takes care of them. They're out in my barn, so I can go out and look at them and say hi and then leave.
Yeah,
and
he takes care of them.
It's a win-win.
All right. Well, Sarah Reinhart, it has been a joy to spend this time with you. We'll try to capture the information about Facebook, Twitter, and Snoring Scholar and put all of that on our blog page. And we will feature that information over a column that you will provide for us. And no rush, but when you can, it would be a joy, and we'll promote that. If it happens to be later, you know, if it takes a while to get to us, we'll just promote it on a later show. But thank you so much for agreeing to do that. And
well, thank you.
We lift you in prayer. We lift your work in our prayer and your family. And thank you for the working relationship that we have on Catholic Moments and elsewhere.
Well, thank you. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
God bless, Sarah.
God bless you, too.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to
That lovely voice you've been hearing singing is Alicia Hernan, a recent guest on Catholic Vitamins, and how appropriate to have her singing Give Thanks to the Lord. How grateful we were that we were able to have Sarah Reinhart join us. You've listened to the interview, Dee.
Yes. I love Sarah.
And you've already sent her an email or two. And now Sarah has contributed a column for us. It's called The Gift of Country Living. And we're going to post that on our blog page for this show. Thank you, dear Sarah. And thank you for the gift of your writing. You know, this topic again of writing, Dee, I think the idea of writing an email to the Lord and then composing an email as if the Lord was writing to each of us. Would you be willing to do that, Dee?
I'll try. I probably wouldn't be as good at it as you are.
Oh, well. It's from you. From you, from your heart. You've got something there?
Well, speaking of writing, we've got people who write to us.
Oh, right. Yes.
Here's one. Why don't you read it?
Deacon Tom, happy belated birthday. As you share the same birthday with my husband, I couldn't let the event pass without sending you an email. Too funny that Dee left you to your own devices on your birthday. Well, darn. So, thanks for the latest podcast. As usual, it was awesome. The sister at the beginning talking about her Oprah experience had me laughing out loud as I walked my dog. Good thing we live on a country road, so no one saw me. And this was from Jackie Whiteside from Pullman, Washington. And I might just say that the sister that she's referring to is Sister Bridge McKenna. And Sister was given to us the use of her voice and her talk. Was given to us because we were authorized by Franciscan University to share some of their Catholic speakers from their summer conferences. And we won't have one on this show, but we will, we think, on the next show, which is for Catholic Vitamin X. We'll come to that in a minute.
We have a couple more.
Okay.
Carrie Marsh, who is a new Facebook friend of both of us, I think. She said, so enjoy Catholic Vitamins. Thank you. And then we heard from Cindy Ellis. Everybody should know Cindy Ellis. They probably heard her name a lot. She says, "Dear Tom and Dee, thank you so much for the Catholic sweet treats and the little black book." That was what we sent her for her winning a Vita Scrabble the last time. She says, "I'll thoroughly enjoy them both. My husband keeps telling me I should buy a lottery ticket since I've won so many Vita Scrabbles on Catholic Vitamins."
Maybe what we should do is go in half and half, you know, $5 from us and $5
yeah,
from the Ellis's.
She's a lucky person. I think I'd like that. So she says she's hoping we're having a fabulous Lenten season, and she thanks us for our wonderful podcast. And then Ebeth wrote in, "You rock."
All right. So let's see. Deacon Tom and Dee, thanks again for your prayers. And Daniel, we were praying for your grandmother, and then we received word that she passed away. So
that was on April 7th in the evening.
Yeah, we asked the angels to escort your grandma to heaven, and may she rest in peace. Well, let's see, Dee, we've talked about quite a few things. I wanted you to say a word or two about this. We're doing the giveaway for the Teresa Doyle Nelson books.
Right, and we're going to do a drawing on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Right. So there are two books, Saints of the Bible and More Saints of the Bible, and we've already had people sending in their name. So send an email to catholicvitamins@gmail.com or call our feedback number, 206-350-3789. And just say Saints of the Bible or a Teresa Doyle Nelson book, and we'll put you in the basket for a drawing. We are ready for Vita Scrabble.
Are we ready?
I think so. Pretty close.
Next Vita Scrabble is X.
Yes.
Except it's not going to start with X.
No, it isn't.
It's going to start with E and end with A.
This is too easy.
I know. It has an X in it.
Yeah.
Five letters. Yeah. Five letters. Starts with E, ends in A.
We'll probably have a Franciscan speaker segment or two, and maybe something else. It won't be a real long show, but we thank you for whatever time you share with us on Catholic Vitamins. And you're ready to do a Vitaminute?
I am, but first I wanted to say, can you believe that we are this close to finishing a third round of the alphabet?
I'm already working on vitamins A, B, and C. Yeah.
I know what you always want to do for A.
Yes, I know. Okay. I know.
All right, Vitaminute for this time. It is not necessary that we should discover new ideas in our meditation. It is sufficient and far more important if the word, as we read and understand it, penetrates and dwells within us.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
And that was in our little black book that our church provided for everybody to pick up for Lenten devotions.
Right.
Meditations,
right.
Rather.
Thank you for that. We thank you, dear listeners, for being with Catholic Vitamins, and we look forward to joining you next show, Vitamin X. Once again, thanks to Sarah Reinhart, a delight, sometimes a hoot, because she gets really animated and lots of fun.
And to Teresa and to Jason.
Yeah. We thank everyone.
Or Justin, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I did that when I was writing our blog about Jason Free.
And I think that's why I said that, because we were just talking to somebody about Jason Free recently.
Yeah, so we were.
Justin, all right. Justin, I'm sorry, Justin.
We're in our 20s, or 30s, or 40s. We're forgetting things. All right. Blessings.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings.
It's just a little paper clip, but it's enough to change my world. So take a chance, give it a spin. A little thing can change your world. Go out and have a great day. Go out and make a change. Go out into the great day. You know we need need a second verse. But we have not yet wrote the words, and so I'm asking all